Everybody, and welcome to Chop Talk, where we talk about everything vaguely martial arts related. I'm your host, Nate England. Today's episode is going back to the archives, which sounds strange considering this is the first episode, but just because Chop Talk is new, that doesn't mean I haven't been doing these interviews for a while. So this is one I found with my good friend Travis Voles, where I was talking about the initial idea behind doing the podcast. And also we talked about the 2011 Grand Nationals in Peoria, and I was sharing some stories about my time during Okinawa. So I thought this was a good way to sort of set the stage for the idea behind the podcast and where I'm hoping to go with it. So I hope you enjoyed the first show, and stay tuned for more. Thanks.
All right, here we go. Okay, so basically, my project is this. I've been working on doing a website, and it partially has to do, well, it's mostly martial arts related, but you know, I know a bunch of people that have been doing a ton of research and writing articles and finding out things about history, but basically nobody has an outlet. Nobody has these things. It's hard to get published. There's not that many magazines out there. I mean, there's Black Belt Magazine and a handful of others, but Black Belt's really more concerned about, you know, who can kick whose ass, and you know, they're more shifted like to MMA type stuff now. Okay, so there's not a lot of outlets for people that are doing more scholarly sort of research and sort of in-depth looking into things. So what I'm doing is I'm getting together some articles that I wrote, and then the other people that are doing similar stuff. So I have some friends in Okinawa and England and kind of all over that sort of similar interests to me, and kind of compiling those articles together. I'm going to put them on the website with the hope that at some point they'll get picked up by, like, for example, like Classical Fighting Arts Magazine. So I'm getting an article published in there probably later this year. They're doing a photo shoot for it in Okinawa, and so my article is going to be in there. But then there's a whole bunch of other stuff that I have and other people have that just doesn't get any outlet. So the other thing I'm doing along with this is I'm doing like basically interviews. So interviewing kind of different people in the martial arts. So people that are kind of like all different stages of their careers. So, you know, I'll talk to, you know, all the AWADs, talk to people that I kind of came up with and got my black belt with, and then talking to people that are kind of, you know, just starting their career, you know, the martial arts, and so just all sort of different things, and, you know, hopefully people that have something, you know, interesting to say and can carry on a conversation. So the plan is to basically do like a podcast. You know kind of what a podcast?
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically like, it's kind of like an internet radio show. It's just, you don't need to broadcast. It's not on AM, FM. It'll be posted on the website, and then whoever wants to listen to it can click on it and listen whenever they want. So now what I'm trying to do is work out the bugs. So I'm starting to do a couple of interviews. I'm going to start editing them together, kind of figuring out, you know, how the flow goes, you know, what... how I'm going to break it up. I'm going to do, you know, half hour. Is it going to be an hour? Is it going to be, you know, just kind of what format I'm going to have. And so that's kind of what you're helping me with. So basically, yeah, I just want to talk to you for, you know, about a half hour, hour, or, you know, we can go on for whatever, for however long. Just sort of about anything, really. So I got a couple things I'll kind of ask, you know, kind of how you got started in the martial arts and things like that. And then, you know, if you want to take it in a different direction, like if you want to ask me about, hey, you know, how did you start, or how did you, you know, what did you do in Okinawa, or what are your thoughts about this, that's fine too. It's just sort of like an open conversation, sort of a focused conversation. And it doesn't really matter what you say. It doesn't have to be that focused, because I can edit anything out or chop anything down. So essentially, you know, I try not to worry about it too much. I shouldn't have said that. You know, just tell me later. I'll make sure it doesn't get published. So that sort of makes sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
All right, good. So, so basically I'm sitting down with Travis Voles. And Travis, what was, I had your uncle start in the martial arts back in
the 60s with the AWADS.
Okay, so he's been in it for quite a long time.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you have any idea how he started off? And
He went to school with the AWADS, and he always found it interesting, from what I've heard.
Yeah.
And he just started working out with them in the beginning when they were in the garage and everything with where Adrian's house is now.
Okay.
They had Grandmaster Trias over there. They had quite a few people.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ross got trained with them there, too.
Yeah.
And they worked out in there for a while, and then they all started up the dojo in Mount Washington, the old location, and then moved where they're at now.
Okay. Yeah, I heard about the dojo at the house. Is it still there?
Supposedly the deck and stuff still there. I haven't seen it.
Okay. Yeah, me neither. I haven't been over to it. It's in Adrian's house.
Yeah.
I haven't been over to his house yet. So then, if you started back in the 60s, that's well before you were born.
Yeah, a lot of my other family members did it whenever I was little.
Okay.
And I don't know, never really dawned upon me, never really got invited to do it or anything.
Yeah.
And I've always been interested in martial arts, but of course I didn't want to do anything like MMA and get knocked stupid and not have a career out of it and not be able to focus in daily life.
This is walking around cross eyed all
the time. Yeah, I'm more into the mental aspects and, you know, everything else to it. But AWAD, Tommy AWAD, at the 4th of July party, me and him started talking about it. He invited me up to the dojo, started going, been going since.
And this was the 4th of July last year, so 2010.
Yeah.
And you guys knew each other. You're about the same age, right?
Yeah.
You go to school together, you guys knew each other?
We always knew each other through family.
Okay.
His and I family, they've been friends for 50 years.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. Going back to you're talking about the MMA guys getting knocked stupid. There was something on TV. I can't remember this guy's name, but I think he was the middleweight champion or something. And I don't watch a ton of MMA, but I remember specifically I did some of the black belts from the other school back in Peoria. Wanted to go out to Buffalo Wild Wings and drink some beer. And so we watched it, and it was, I'll think of the guy's name later. But it was this guy, one of his first fights, and he's kind of like a young guy, you know, good looking and you know, everything. And he wound up winning his fight. He only had a couple at that point. And then he went on and wound up being, I think, a middleweight champion or something like that. And they're interviewing me yesterday. Just a beat to hell. He had all these scars under his eyes. And his
cauliflower
giant cauliflower ear. And, you know, I don't follow it that much, but I specifically remember that guy.
Yeah.
And it was just such a huge contrast from where he started.
Yeah.
And this couldn't have been 5 years ago.
4 or 5 years is your
problem. Yeah, and he just keeps kind of talking a little bit slower, you know.
And with karate, it can be a lifetime journey.
Yeah, and it should be, you know. Like I was telling somebody this week, you know, I was working out. And when I was working out in Okinawa, there's this one old guy who come by Miyahiro's dojo. And Shiroma. He's kind of a... He's kind of a weird old guy. He worked as a tugboat captain for years in Okinawa. And so he would, and so he learned English, you know, but it was kind of broken English because he learned it from, you know, different Marines and sailors and stuff as he's pushing the boats around. He has to communicate with them on the radio. And this guy was 80, you know, he was 80 years old, but he would still come in and work out. And he's a real nice guy. But, he came in this one night and wanted to work with me. And this guy's maybe 5'1", and like I said, 80 years old, and you know. And so he wanted to do this blocking drill where, you know, it's like body conditioning. So we both kind of do middle blocks together and then low blocks. Middle blocks, so you're kind of clashing on the middle block, and you both low block at the same time and you clash. So you're kind of developing the arm. And so I'm doing this. He's like, you want to do this with me? Like, God, this guy, I want to break this guy. You know, he's just tiny looking frail old man. And so I'm kind of doing it real light, you know, kind of real gentle up and real gentle down, real gentle up and real gentle down. And we do that a couple times. He goes, no, you do hard. And I'm like, oh, God, okay, all right. So I'm going to do it a little bit harder. I don't want to hurt this guy. So I'm about a half power. I'm like, okay, up a little bit harder, and down a little bit harder, and up a little. And he's like, no, 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 you do hard, you do hard. And I'm like, all right, here we go. So I throw up just as hard as I can, middle block out, and he does the same, and down and up and down. We went back and forth about 10 times. And after that, he goes, okay, you're very good, very good. And he was done. But, I mean, it was just weird to see this. If you didn't see him work out, he just looked like this kind of frail old man. But he wasn't, you know. And I was afraid of breaking his arm, but it's probably more of a chance of him breaking mine.
Yeah.
You know.
Karate was preventing him from getting old and frail.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, because he's working out all the time. He had his own dojo there in Okinawa. Yeah. He'd work out with us. And
I was reading in one of Funakoshi's books, too, talking about how a lot of the people who started in martial arts were actually frail children, you know, frail as children. And then I guess the art strengthened them.
Yeah, because they get some sort of, you know, routine, and then they're training. And, you know, it's a regular form of exercise. Even, you know, when the guys are getting into their... You know, like I said, 60s, 70s, and 80s, you know, a lot of people are just sitting on their front porch or sitting in their chair and watching TV, and then these guys are getting out and working out, you know, even if it's a couple, three times a week, it still makes a huge difference. So you're talking about, you know, how you started. So you talked to, you know, you were, Tommy kind of convinced you to come out.
Well, we were just talking about it at the firework display, you know, talking about his tournaments, and he invited me out, and that's pretty much it.
How'd your first class go? Was he teaching it? Who was teaching it? What was the...
I actually don't think he was at my first class.
Okay.
It took him a couple weeks to get up there after that. He was busy with school and everything.
Yeah.
But I think it was... Mr. Smith and Mr. Awad for the first class, Adrian.
Okay. And it wasn't, you got injured somehow? You had a...
Hernia surgery probably about 3-4 months into it.
Ah, jeez. So that sort of derailed things for a while.
Actually, I think it might have made things better in a way.
Really?
Yeah, it gave me time to sit back and think about all the stuff I was learning and just reading stuff like that in general.
So you started reading.
Took the most positive thing out of it. Yeah, I was sitting on the couch and couldn't get off my butt.
I mean, that's what you have to do. You know, I've had
make the best out of every situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had a few injuries as well, and I mean, if you're a situation where you can't work out, you got to figure out how else can you move forward.
You've got the time with yourself then.
Right. I remember I broke my wrist one time, so I started working my kicks, and then I broke my leg, so I'm stuck. So I'm like, all right, so I'll read books. So how long about did that put you sort of out of commission? How long did it take before you were back in the dojo and working out?
3-4 months probably.
Okay. So pretty good long time.
Yeah.
And that's similar to what happened to me when I was a yellow belt. I actually broke my pelvis. And so that's about how long I was out.
I was eager to get back in.
Yeah.
I just did a lot on balance and stuff while I was out, too. Mm-hmm. Even Mr. Smith and Mr. Awad was like, wow, you came back like a natural. Mm-hmm. I was working on balance and stuff, standing at one foot at the house, lift the other one up, go out. Couldn't do anything hard, but...
Well, obviously it paid off because you went to the USKK Nationals? Grand Nationals?
Yeah, June 19th.
Yeah, I believe June 19th in Peoria. You had a pretty big cheering section.
Yeah, that was so.
Your family came down. Yeah. Your couple guys from work came down.
Yeah, it seemed like they were more pumped up than I was.
Yeah, well, it's impressive. I mean, to have such a big cheering section coming there, and I mean, it's not a short drive from
Cincinnati. It's like, you know, 5.5 hours, 6 hours over to Peoria. So that's good, and you won.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, you were in the sort of the color belt division.
Yeah.
And
I just got promoted at the banquet the night before, so technically I was a yellow belt, and that was blue belt. Actually, I remember the guy's name. It was Butch Poole.
Okay. He's the guy who you fought?
For the finals.
Okay, for the sparring?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. You got promoted at the banquet. Was that a surprise? Did you expect that?
That was a surprise. Yeah. Total surprise.
Yeah, I didn't know that was coming.
Mr. Awad said he knew.
I was like, oh. Don't sure. Yeah.
Mr. Awad and Mike.
Yeah, definitely. But then your sparring went really. How many matches did you have?
Just two.
Yeah, the two matches. It wasn't a huge division, but
no.
It was good competition. You beat you had your first match, you won that one. What was the score in the first one?
I can't even.
No idea, but you won. And the second one was an interesting match to watch.
The first one was. That was.
Yeah, when you were fighting for first place, because it was. What happened? You got down at first, right? You got down. It was a 5-point match.
I think at one point I actually lost a point trying to fix my shoe, which I shouldn't have done. I should have made him stop.
But. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you were down. You were down like, I don't know, was it 3-0 or 3-1 or something like that.
I was down, yeah.
And then you made your comeback and you started coming back. And you took a pretty good shot to the face at one point.
That was a real good shot. That was I think I'm salty because you're coming up on point shot.
Yeah, he wanted to try to make you back off because he was starting to get nervous. What happened with that? I mean,
I saw it from the sidelines.
Oh, I fell. I got back up. I was loopy, kept seeing stars.
Did you see it coming at all? Was it when you're like, hey, I'm about to get hit? Or just all of a sudden you were on the ground?
I actually threw something and I was pretty sure I got a point, so I kind of held back, waiting on him to call the point, and next thing I know, he just came across with one. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, and it shook you up pretty good.
Yeah, fell, got up real quick.
Got back up and started the match.
I think we were actually going for the, final point.
Yeah.
And then Sensei, Mike Awad, called out that I was bleeding.
Well, you had got, because even after you got knocked down, you got another at least one point, or maybe two.
I think it was 2 points.
Yeah, you got two more points after you got knocked down.
I think it might have been a roundhouse and a reverse punch.
And yeah, and then you started bleeding, and you know, Sensei Awad kind of said, hey, look what's going on.
I didn't really know how they would react, because I kind of wanted to tell them just to keep, that's why, because I was bleeding the whole time, I was wiping the blood away, just because I didn't really think it was that big of a deal. And
yeah.
Well, I kind of wanted to just finish it off and point him out, but...
Right. Well, I mean, the thing is, it's a game, really. And the rules are, you're not allowed to punch someone in the face and make them bleed. You know, it's just like anything else.
In football, you're not allowed to run out of bounds, you know. In baseball, you're not
allowed
to...
It was a pretty hard punch for...
It was. But, I mean, like I said, you got knocked down and... close to getting knocked out, and got back up, got two more points, and then he got disqualified. So
even out of just messing around with my brothers and all this stuff throughout my life, that was probably one of the closest. He got me right in the right spot.
It was a good one. And so, but you wound up winning the match. I think you're right. The score was tied, and then he got disqualified for that, and then. Yeah, you won. Got first place. That was and then the kata was before that.
Yeah,
right? And there was both.
I think I got first, second, third, and fourth in that.
You're the only person in karate history to enter a tournament and to get all three places or all four places.
I didn't even care. I knew I won. I knew I without a doubt. And then once they said third place or whatever they called it first, I just walked forward. I was just going to take it. I didn't even care.
Right.
I knew what happened.
Yeah. They got the scores. Turned around. I don't know if it was the guys calling it. Yeah,
and
they call the scores.
Richard Awad and Sensei Maria Evans. They went running over there real quick to the judges' booth, to the announcers' booth.
Right. Yeah. Mr. Bethea is announcing. You know, third place, Travis Bowles. They like, oh, something's wrong. All the judges, something's wrong. So they ran over there, fixed it. And they came back, and then second place, Travis Bowles. And they ran over there again, fixed it. Came back. Fourth place, Travis Bowles. Ran over there again, fixed it. Came back, and so finally they did get it right. They got it right. You got first place on that. Ran Wansu and looked real good. And yeah, so you wound up getting first place. You got promoted. You got first places in both divisions you're in, so it's pretty good start to your
first start,
for your karate competition career.
Yeah.
Good. So So you, the other thing you got to do when you were there is kind of meet some of the people.
That was great.
You know, the pictures on the wall. You know?
Yes.
So what was...
Got to meet a sensei, James McLean, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I got to meet him. He was one of the AWOD's teachers.
Yeah.
Got to meet all kinds of people, really.
Yeah, well, he invited us
out to Tennessee. We need to make a trip out there.
We do. We do. I know Mr. Hamner's talking about going down there. Just haven't quite figured out when is a good time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not that far. It's a 4 or 5 hour drive.
Yeah. It'd be well worth it.
Yeah, we need to get together and do that at some point. What were your impressions? I mean, you've heard some stories, but then all of a sudden you meet the man.
It was nice.
Yeah,
it was nice meeting Master Philip Kopp. Whenever I said bye to him at the tournament, he's like, "Oh, you know, he's met a lot of people that weekend." Of course, he goes,
sure.
"Who are you with again?" I said, "The Kosho School of Karate, the AWADS." He goes, "Oh, okay, you're basically family then."
Yeah. Because those guys have been together for a long time.
Yeah. Found Sensei Marie Evans. Found her interesting.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Did you talk to her, work out with her much, or?
We just had a good conversation at the banquet and conversation at the. We met at Steak and Shake.
Okay.
For dinner with Dominique and Tommy Awad Jr. Dominique Loriano, I think, is the last name.
Yeah, I think that's right.
He got the Shuri Cup the Trias Cup last year in the.
Yeah, Shuri. He's the ringer.
Yeah.
He's the guy who wins everything.
They said whenever he trains with a bow, he trains, I guess, some kind of iron one or something like that.
Okay.
It's a lot heavier, so I guess whenever he grabs his normal bow staff, it's...
Makes all the noise.
Yeah, lightning speed then.
Yeah, he looked good. Yeah, he won, I think he won everything, every division here. I know he got weapons and kata and sparring. So, that was good. He did a good run. Very nice.
Absolutely. I think Sensei Marie Evans, I think she was a... Grandmaster Robert Tria's last black belt student, she told me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she trained with him for 17 years.
Okay. Was she? Do you know, was she living there in Phoenix, or?
I'm not positive. I think so. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I've met her a couple of times at seminars, but never had a really chance to sit down and talk to her or anything like that.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. That does it for the first episode of Chop Talk. I'd like to thank my guest again, Travis Voles, and also I'd like to thank Tito Hobbles for providing the bumper music. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Mateya.